Today's reading is from Titus, chapter 2, 1 to 8, from the Living New Testament. But as for you, speak up for the right living that goes along with all good Christians. Teach the older men to be serious and unruffled. They must be sensible, knowing and believing the truth, and doing everything with love and patience. Teach the old women to be quiet and respectful in everything they do. They must not go around speaking evil of others and must not be heavy drinkers. But they should be teachers of goodness. These older women must train the younger women to live quietly, to love their husbands and their children, and to be sensible and clean-minded, spending their time in their own homes, being kind and obedient to their husbands, so that the Christian faith cannot be spoken of against by those who know them. In the same way, urge the young men to behave carefully, taking life seriously. And here you yourselves must be an example to them of good deeds of every kind. Let everything you do reflect your love of the truth and the fact that you are in dead earnest about it. Your conversation should be so sensible and logical that anyone who wants to argue will be ashamed of himself, because there won't be anything to criticize anything you say. May the Lord bless this reading.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Quick quiz or quick poll. How many people here would call themselves an older man? Put up your hand if you think you're an older man. Yeah, there's one honest, two. There's one and a few. Okay. Oh, and an old man, Daniel. Very good. Part of the rationale behind this is it's a state of being, isn't it? Okay, let's go for this one. Older woman. Hands up, older woman. Oh, women are not too afraid. There's a lot more women. Okay, all right. Younger man. If you think you're a younger man. Yep. Oh, Steve Kyle is a younger man. Good. Yeah, Mark's a...
In the middle.
A middle man. Okay, all right. Younger woman. No younger women today. Maybe. And Jamie, not a younger woman? No. Yeah. No, you're a little girl. Oh, she's got a Nana rug on, so you had... Yeah. I have a friend who turned 31 yesterday. 31. How old's that? 31. She used to be a youth group kid in one of my churches. And she was a bit cheeky as a young girl. She used to call me old when I was in my 30s. And I thought that was a bit mean. I mean, I had the whole young and old thing shattered for me quite early in my day, because at the old age of 25, when I was a youth pastor at St. Bart's Anglican Church, we were on a youth camp and we were kicking a ball backwards and forwards, as you do, and taking speckings over each other. And one of my youth leaders came and saw me. My youth leader was 21, 22 years old. And he was saying that the young guy, Lucas, who was 16, was kicking the ball down his end. And he said, hey, the old guy up there kicks a good ball, doesn't he? 25, I was the old guy. 25. It's all relative. Well, this young girl who used to call me old, who turned 31... one day I had the greatest joy. Was it you, Jamie, or Michaela? It was you. Okay. We used to have night church in our last church, and we used to have a lot of fun, and lots of young people were there, and our kids were little. And so they used to love night church, and as little kids often get passed around, all the teenagers used to love looking after our two kids. Anyway, on the way to church one night... we think it's Jamie. Have I got the story right, Jamie or Michaela? Jamie? Jay. Okay, we'll go with Jay. I'm old, so my memory's fading. One of them goes to, is that old girl going to be there today? And I went, the old girl? And she went, yeah, you know, that one that looks after us all the time. Mandy, who's 16. Woo-hoo! So when I got to church that night, I told her that I might be old to her, but to my little girl, she's old. Now, I share that with you because we're reading a passage from Titus today. And John, your version was very, very nice version. did anyone hear the old woman in there? So there is this passage that is a bit of a challenging passage for us, but let's just unpack it for a little bit before we delve into it. Firstly, Titus chapter 2. There's a number of ministries around the world. There is Titus 2 Women, which is a ministry that's an international ministry where women, older women and younger women mentor each other. And it's a phenomenal ministry. I listened to a podcast during the week of how it all got started and everything. And it was just an incredible opportunity for women to get in and support and mentor one another. Because at the moment, we're coming to an end of our season for this year. We've done God's story, our story, throughout this year, and we've been looking at mentoring, trying to develop areas in our lives that we get help and support. Because the church is not built around one person, is it? Aha, very good. It is built around one person, as in Jesus, yes, but it's not built around one pastor, is it? No. One pastor is never going to be enough, and one pastor will always let you down. And some may even say two pastors will always let you down. And this week I was at a pastor's function where there was a church that had seven pastors. Seven pastors. And the amazing thing was that these pastors were sharing about longevity and ministry, and they shared that even with seven pastors in the church, people were leaving the church because they weren't being looked after or cared for. With seven pastors across the church. So no matter how many pastors you have, you're going to be let down. We're not going to cover all the bases. We're not going to be there. And this passage, this whole thing of mentoring is to be there for one another. The one another phrases throughout the Bible are incredibly significant. One another. And Titus chapter 2, there's another ministry called Titus 2 for Life. Titus 2 for Life. And it's a whole ministry where it's about mentoring for life. Now, Titus chapter 1 is a bit of an intro, but at the back end of it, there's a bit of rebuking that Paul does. If you go to verse 12, he's very clever in the way that he says something nasty. I think 18c would be a little bit of a trouble with this one. Because have a listen to this. He says, one of Crete's own prophets has said it. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. And that's pretty nasty to say about someone, isn't it? If you were a Cretan or a Cretan? Cretan? Because Cretan is that, isn't it? Okay, Cretan, sorry. See, I've just offended the whole nation of Crete. So these people in Crete, he says something really nasty about them. And then a little bit down below in verse 16, he says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That's pretty hardcore too, isn't it? He's laying it hard down. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Now, why am I saying that to you? Because we're looking at Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through to 8. Why would I go back to chapter 1? Anyone want to have a go? Set the scene? Yep. Or we could just go for the first two words, you, however. If I say however, what does that mean? I'm referring back to something, aren't I? If I say, like, pretend I'm not married and I'm trying to find a new wife, and I go up to a girl and she says, Donnie, I think you're fantastic. I think you're amazing. I think da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden she goes, however, all the other stuff really is irrelevant, isn't it? Because after however comes is the truth. All right, there's some stuff coming. However, so this one is you, however. So he's talking about this is what's happening. This is the church that Titus is a part of. These are the people that Titus is working with. Tough ministry, don't you reckon? He's had that quote from one of Crete's own prophets. And he's got that there. And then he's got, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That's just harsh. And then he goes, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the, in your Bibles, what have you got there? What's the word? Older men. Teach the older men. All right, now, when I say older men, what do you hear?
Not middle.
Older than middle. So really what you're saying there, Paul, if we're talking older than middle, we're talking old, aren't we? Above 25? See, the interesting thing is when you go into the commentary writers, and there was a guy called Ferguson who I really enjoyed what he had to say, he says that the wording in there, in when you're looking into its original context, the word is indeed older. And it doesn't state old as in like 27 or old as in 52 or old as in 102. It's not saying anything. It's older. So, for example, I am older than Mark Owen. But I'm still older than you. I'm older than Jordan Owen. But you see, the wording is still the same. I'm older. And so when he's talking about older men to be this, he's talking about people who are older than you are. Okay? Because older means someone that you can look up to and respect. We're looking in a culture where older people, there was a lot more respect. We seem to have lost that a bit these days. Once upon a time when I was younger and we used to get on the bus for 10 cents all the way from Mount Gravatt into the city, when we got on the bus, that 10 cent ride was okay, but as soon as someone older got on the bus and I was sitting down, guess what I was expected to do? Put my feet on the chair in front of me so that I couldn't sit down? No. I was expected to stand up and say, there you go. There was this different era, a different age, where older people had that area of respect. It was a different time. And back in this day, there was that sort of time as well. Now, when we say older, we again, like verse 3, likewise, teach the older women, not the old women, but the older women. So these two words are for those sort of people. So in other words, right here in this room, you are going to be both older and younger. Very good, Barb. So that means you will all be in a position, all will be in a position to look up to someone who is older and have them as a mentor or a co-mentor. And you'll also have someone to look and say, I can help you or be a mentor to you. Older and younger is the sense of the word in this passage. We're not talking about old people. We're not talking about young people. We're talking about older and younger. Often when we talk about this, we look at someone in their 20s to 40s as younger. Titus 2 women often does do that. But they often do also say, look, you can have someone that's 33 mentoring someone who's 29. You can have someone 29 mentoring someone who's 33. So age is not the thing that we're actually talking about here. Does that make sense? So what we're talking about here is for men, older men, to be temperate, worthy of respect. Isn't that interesting? Worthy of respect. How do you get worthy of respect? How do you do that? So it's something you do, isn't it, to get the respect? If you're an older person, it's not just respect because I'm old. That's not the way it works. It's the reputation of the older person. There is respect and influence and ability to say, okay, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love and endurance, or as in John said, in patience. Now, we could delve into all of those, but do you think they're all good qualities? So as older, for those guys put up their hands as older, so you guys have got to grab hold of the being temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and endurance. And then there's this other interesting word that Paul has put in here. Likewise. Likewise. Teach the older women. Do you think that's revolutionary in this period of time? Teach the older women. In the Jewish synagogue, did the women get taught? Nope. We're talking about first century church here. We're talking about Paul talking to a young preacher called Titus to train up the women, the older women and the younger women. This is a cultural divergence in this era. So likewise, so in the same area of teaching young, older men, likewise teach older women. So is it important to teach the men? Oh, absolutely. Yes, we've got to look after the men. We've got to make sure the men look after each other, blah, blah, blah. Likewise, it's just as important to teach the older women is what he's saying to Titus. So there wasn't a big segregation like there was in the earlier days. We sometimes go back into that default position, don't we? That obviously the men are more important than the women. And that's never been the case with the Word of God. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Oops, sorry, Steve. What are we having here? We've got older men, older women, younger women, and younger men. It's very much a look what's happening, see what's happening, and then follow that example, isn't it? The mentoring process or the discipleship process is all one-on-one. And so when Paul's talking to Titus here, he's saying, as older men, as older women, do this, so that your life might be an example. You know, St. Francis of Assisi is often quoted, you know, preach the gospel and when necessary use words. In other words, live it by your life. And so this is what he's saying here. Worthy of respect is saying you live your life the way that God has called you to live. And this is what he's bringing across here in the early church. That people should look around the church and go, wow, that, look at that person. I respect their walk with God. I wish I could have a walk with God like that. In other words, their walk with God was evident. They could see it. People in the church would see it. It was obvious. It wasn't just something that was done on a certain day. It was obvious throughout the community. It was obvious in their family. It was obvious in their workplace. It was obvious everywhere they went. And they wanted to be mentored. They wanted to learn how to do things. They wanted to know how to know the Bible. They wanted to know how to pray better. When we did the school of prayer, we talked about how in the time this was, that prayer schools were how people learned how to pray. And yet today, when people become Christians, we just expect they'll know how to pray. And sometimes people don't know how to pray. And then when we say, what's prayer? Well, it's prayer is talking to God. Yep, that's base one. What's next? There's a whole gauntlet of things that we can learn and teach one another. Titus, as I shared in the pastor's pen, is a book of do's. It's a whole bunch of things to do. You can see that all the way through that is do this, do this, do this. As a young Christian, I was told, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity of going to a World Vision event, and Tim Costello was there. Now, how many people have heard of Tim Costello? Yep, the Costello brothers. Well, apparently, this is where it comes when I'm not a Baptist, but for those of you guys that have been Baptist for years and years, you'll understand that the Costello family are Baptist. Yeah? Baptist. They go right back. They go back to the days when I'm a Baptist, so I don't dance. That sort of Baptist, right? Going right back. He told a story about when Billy Graham first came to Melbourne. Now, I believe that happened before I was born. Billy Graham comes to Melbourne and he gets all the pastors together, and Billy Graham, wherever he went, guess who he took with him? His wife. His wife was always with him. She was always around. She was there being a model and an example to younger women and older women, actually. Everyone looked up to Billy Graham and Ruth. He just had his birthday recently, for those that were wondering. Tim Costello tells of a time when his mum came home from meeting with Billy and Ruth, and she was so excited. She was so excited, not because Billy or Ruth had said something profound, but at the meeting, Ruth, ready for this, ladies? I'm going to drop this one. Ruth was wearing lipstick. Wearing lipstick. But Mrs. Costello was, praise God! I can wear lipstick because Ruth wears lipstick. Modeling. That's a different era, wasn't it? Not my era, Evie. I never wore lipstick, though. But you see what I'm saying? There's the example of it all. Don't believe anything Cynthia's just saying right now. We're living in an era where this mentoring is what God is talking to us about. The example of coming through. But it's for you and for me to be a part of this journey. Is it easy? Nah. Is it easy to follow Jesus? He says it is. But then at the same time, he says it's not. Now see, I'm going to step forward for a bit here. Ooh, good. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 is a very powerful verse. It says, if you want to follow me, then you need to deny yourself daily, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's pretty hard. Deny yourself daily. Some of the things that Titus is saying in there, worthy of respect, wanting to have people follow you, wanting to be like you, I'll have what he's having, I'll want to be like him, I want to be, you know, that sort of stuff, is just about following Jesus. I just need to do something now while you just have a sit and think what that means for you. What does it mean for you to follow Jesus? How does it flow across, not just in your life here at church, but life outside of church? I'll be with you in a minute. I just got to do some hammering. I've got my cross here, see? You hear the sound effects, can't you? Sorry, Steve. I'm going to do some hammering, Steve. How are you going with that following Jesus? Have you come up with anything for you? Because it's all going to be different for all of us, isn't it? The way I follow Jesus will be different to the way Mark follows Jesus. In some regards. In some regards, they'll be all the same. In other regards, it'll be a little bit different. What would it mean for you to deny yourself? What would that mean? How would that work? And what does it mean to pick up your cross? Are we all meant to become Arthur Blessett? Some of you don't know who Arthur Blessett is, do you? Arthur Blessett was a guy who literally picked up his cross. I think he cheated a little bit because he put a wheel on the bottom of it. But it was a big cross. And he carried that cross all around the world. And wherever he got somewhere, sorry, I'm getting old. Wherever he went, he would stop and he'd put his cross up and he'd share about Jesus. There's an amazing book about his story, about his testimony. Now, one of the things that helps me is visuals. So for me to follow Jesus, for me to deny myself, for me to pick up my cross, what does that mean? What does that mean? I remember back in Bible college, once a week, we would have a guest missionary come. And we had this little lady who was a missionary who'd been in Africa for some 20 years. And she was one of these missionaries that went to Africa never thinking she was ever coming home. And in fact, when she finished with us, she was going back to Africa. When she got there, her missionary journey almost failed within a couple of weeks. She was very cranky about the conditions. She was very cranky about the food. She was very cranky about having to change the way that she wears clothes. As I'm listening to her, I'm thinking, wow, what mission studies did you do before you went? Did you just think you were going to Africa and see a few elephants and stuff and reach all the people? And so the chief, who was a follower of Jesus, grabbed her and said, I want you to go into that hut and I want you to seek God and I want you to find out what's wrong, because if you don't work out what's wrong with you being here, then you need to go back home because you're not helping here. Harsh. Hey, I'm the missionary here. I've come to help you. You're the people I've come to help, and you're telling me to get my act together with God or I'm going home? So she goes in, she fasts and she prays, which is a good thing in itself. And she comes out and she goes, look, no, I don't have it. I don't get it. And then he says, let me help you. And he grabbed his finger and he just went into the dirt and he drew a line. And she said, a line? And he goes, yeah, that's an I. And she went, I. He said, for you, it's all about you. It's about your clothes. It's about your food. It's about your culture. It's about you bringing the good news to us. And he said, you need to cross out you. And he put a line through the eye, left it with what? A cross. He said, it's all about Jesus. It's not about how good you play the guitar. It's not good about this. It's all about Jesus. So the little bit of work that I've done that might help you is to nail myself to the cross. Now, I'm not going to carry this cross around with me all day. You should have seen me when I brought it down from upstairs. I was whinging and complaining about how heavy it was. And if I was going to have to follow Jesus with this cross, I'd like a lighter cross, which was pointed out to me was the wrong answer. I wonder about you and me whether we actually do want a lighter cross. We do want an easier cross. We want a cross that has less sacrifice. We want a cross that has less that is expected of us. Unfortunately, the cross that Jesus went to cost him his life. The next verse in Luke, verse 24, says literally, if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll save it. What does it mean to be a mentor, an older mentor, a younger mentor? An older man, a younger man, an older woman, a younger woman. It means to follow Jesus. And the marks of following Jesus, according to Titus chapter 2, is all listed there. Is this few verses in Titus chapter 2, is this all-encompassing? No, because if you sit there and go, okay, here's my list. I'm an older man, so I need to be worthy of respect. I need to be temperate. I need to be self-controlled. sound in faith, in love, and patient. And if I work on those things, and at the end of the day go, tick, 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 you beauty, I pass. Now, guess what? There's more for us to do in Christ, isn't there? The work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life is never, ever finished. Never, ever finished. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for Titus. I think he's an incredibly brave man. I thank you that you've called me to Kawana Life Baptist Church, because in chapter 1, Lord God, I don't have those people here. I've got a good group of people who desire to love you and want to serve you. But Lord, even though we're not doing too bad in many ways, and we may indeed be wearing a white hat, some days wearing a black hat, and other times wearing an ugly hat, Lord, there is areas in our lives that you want to work on. And as an older man or a younger man or an older woman and a younger woman, Lord, there are some areas that you want to minister in and through us into people's lives. You definitely want to minister into our family, both our nuclear family and those right around us and our extended families. And you definitely want to work in and through us in a family like this. And you definitely want to work through us into our family that is all around us, where we live and where we work. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to deny ourselves for whatever that specifically means for each of us. And I ask that you would help us to pick up our cross, and again, however that plays out for each of us, and that we would follow you daily. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, who wants to work in and through each and every one of us, to hone us, to shape us. Thank you, Lord God. Amen.